Okay, folks, let's reconvene. It is 25 past one, and Mr. Robertson, I would like you to introduce item 16.
Thank you, Chair Wolf. Item 16 is an update to the board on the status of cooperative groundwater monitoring programs and groups involved in Ag Order 3.0 implementation. As a refresher, Ag Order 3.0 provides the option for growers to comply with groundwater monitoring and reporting individually or through a cooperative groundwater monitoring program that is approved by the executive officer. Additionally, interested parties may seek discretionary review by the regional board of the executive officer's approval or denial of a cooperative groundwater monitoring program. I want to note that last month I approved two cooperative groundwater monitoring programs, Santa Rosa Creek Valley. Okay, that cooperative also existed in 2.0, and that they're located near Cambria, and then the Central Coast Groundwater Coalition I also approved. So just as a note of business, requests for discretionary review of these approvals were due on May 11th. Section Manager Angela Schroeder, to my left, will provide a brief summary of the approved cooperative groundwater monitoring programs and answer any questions.
Did we get any requests for discretionary review?
No, the due date was yesterday and we did not receive any requests. So I hope this will just be a brief update to you on the cooperative groundwater monitoring programs. Good morning, Chair Wolf, members of the board. My name is Angela Schroeder, Section Manager. So as John mentioned, Ag Order 3.0 requires groundwater monitoring and reporting. Growers have an option to do that individually or as a cooperative. As John mentioned, in April 2017, we approved two cooperatives, the Central Coast Groundwater Coalition and also the Santa Rosa Creek Valley Cooperative. And though both those cooperatives had approved work plans for 2.0, so this is sort of moving those forward. So I'm going to go ahead and summarize what the groundwater monitoring and reporting requirements are for the individual, and then we'll do a comparison against the Central Coast Groundwater Coalition and Santa Rosa. And essentially, what Ag Order 3.0 did was to streamline the groundwater monitoring and reporting for this order. So for the individual groundwater monitoring requirements here in in the first column there, those are the individual groundwater monitoring requirements. The well type, frequency parameters, reporting, and the notifications all the same as they were in 2.0. So growers are required to monitor all the domestic wells, as well as the primary irrigation well. They must sample those twice in the first year of the order and during the fall and the spring, so March through June 2017 and September through December 2017. So we're right in the middle of the first sampling period. The parameters are the same as they were in Ag Order 2.0, includes nitrate as nitrogen, as well as the major ions, so calcium, sodium, magnesium. And then the reporting, the same as Ag Order 2.0, is electronic reporting directly from an ELAP certified laboratory and uploaded to the GeoTracker database. The notifications, similar to 2.0, are if the well exceeds the MCL, the grower or landowner must notify the well users within 10 days of learning of that exceedance. So currently we have about 3,800 growers who are conducting their groundwater monitoring individually. That represents 215,000 acres. So that's for the individual. Now in this second column, that's the Central Coast Groundwater Coalition's requirements, and approved work plan actually is attachment 1 to the staff report. But basically, they have 550 members. Their membership includes 206,000 acres. And again, essentially, the coalition's approved work plan is very similar to the individual groundwater monitoring requirements. So the coalition members must also sample all the domestic wells and also the primary irrigation well. These asterisks in the table here, for example, on frequency of the Central Coast Groundwater Coalition, this is where we have some deviations from the individual. So frequency is the first, I'll say, slight difference. And this is really just to afford coalition members more time to conduct sampling given the size of their membership. So the coalition members have until the end of 2017 to conduct their first sample. And then the second sample must be collected by the end of December of 2019. The sample still must be taken one in the spring and one in the fall. They just have a longer overall time frame to conduct that sampling. The parameters are identical to the individual. They must sample nitrate and major ions. However, since the coalition did some previous characterization of the major ions, the approved work plan allows coalition members not to conduct the major ion sampling during Ag Order 3.0 if they had already conducted it. So the coalition members who can document that they did that test don't have to conduct that sampling in 2017. The reporting is the same. It goes to GeoTracker, and also the notifications were brought to be streamlined with the individual. So coalition members are also required to notify well users of any MCL exceedance within 10 days, and then to provide those letters and confirmations to the regional board. So that middle column is the Central Coast Groundwater Coalition, and that's a summary of their requirements. Again, essentially the same as the individual. So Santa Rosa, there, that last column, it's like a Santa Rosa Creek Valley Cooperative. Again, we had a approved work plan for them in Ag Order 2.0. It's a very small watershed near Cambria. They have approximately 12 members and for approximately 163 acres. And this cooperative is identical. Everything is identical to the individual with one exception. They provided some hydrogeologic justification and a rationale to suggest that three of their approximately 15 wells were representative of their basin. So the requirement is for them to sample those three domestic/irrigation wells, but everything else is the same, same frequency, same parameters, same reporting. And then should they have an exceedance, which we don't expect, because it's a very high quality groundwater basin, they would have to conduct the notification. So that, in summary, is the Cooperative Groundwater Monitoring Programs. Again, we had both of these programs in 2.0. We've streamlined them to be more similar to the individuals in 3.0. We publicly noticed the approvals in April. The public had 30 days to request a discretionary review, and those requests were due yesterday, May 11th, and we did not receive any requests. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Looking on my right,
nope.
My left,
yes.
Mayor Delgado.
Thank you, Angela.
You're welcome.
When 3.0, and for Chair Jean-Pierre, was approved, some of the stakeholders didn't like that it was sort of retroactive to January 2017. So the March to June, is that in deference to that, so that we're not asking or requiring any January to March 2017 data? Or do we still have any kind of data required from 3.0 starting January 2017?
I think the shifting of due dates was primarily related to other aspects of the order. I don't know if Chris Rose is
on that. Add in that a lot of the comment that you're referencing, Mr. Delgado, I think revolves around tracking of total nitrogen applied and the obligation to track total nitrogen applied throughout the whole of the calendar year still exists.
Okay.
That's not a linkage to that discussion.
Right. Okay. So this is not
that makes sense.
Right. Thank you for clarifying
so,
that.
So these frequencies are identical. They have not been changed. The sampling was always to start in March.
Okay. So for the total nitrogen, do we still require it, but we're loose on the requirement because of the understanding that?
I'm going to let you repeat your question and let Chris Rose answer that.
So, Chris, we weren't talking about what I'm questioning, but what I'm questioning is the status of the requirement for total nitrogen applied reporting sort of retroactively back to January. And I think last I heard that we were going to be a little loose on that. Can you give a status update on that requirement?
Is this separate then from the groundwater monitoring program question? Because if it is, I mean, we can discuss with it. I'd like right now to...
Good point.
You know, stay focused with...
Yeah, in regards to groundwater, but not groundwater monitoring.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then,
I'll be
you
here.
Know, you'll be around so we can answer that.
Thank you. I'm sorry for my confusion.
No problem. I'm just trying to, you know, get this item fully clarified. Any question, Ms. Gray?
No, I don't know.
Ms. Cervantes?
No.
No? Okay. The only question I have, Angela, is on, you know, in Santa Rosa, a point was made in regard to their hydrology that only three domestic wells would need to be sampled. And I would be puzzled to think that in 200,000 plus acres, there would not have been some similar circumstance. So why Santa Rosa was able to make their case for a significant reduction of wells, and that's not applied to the coalition?
So that's a good question. Let me start by saying Santa Rosa made that very specific case where they provided that in their work plan, came in, talked to staff. We looked at well logs and cross sections and agreed that these three wells were representative of the basin. As you might recall from 2.0, there was difficulty in getting density and well log information to make those same sort of arguments.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially the CCG's work plan did not propose that for 3.0.
Okay, so in this case, they decided we'll keep it as is and, you know, we're not going to look at consolidation.
That's correct. And we have a representative here of the coalition if we want to address
that.
Yeah,
and he's got a speaker card. Yeah.
I'll add that Santa Rosa is I'll call it a tidy little basin, too.
I'm familiar with it.
And there's a home court advantage there, you know. Yeah. One of the members is a hydrogeologist, so they're coming in with that frame of how do we characterize the basin, mm-hmm. this density of wells, and these wells are adequate to do that. Most don't have hydrogeologists as members of their group.
Thank you. So at this time, I have one speaker card for this item. So, Randy, the floor is yours. Happy Friday.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Board. Want to apologize. Perry Clausen couldn't make it. He had a minor medical issue he had to take care of, so he called me to help out, and I figure who else needs more help than Perry? CCGC. I'm a director of the Central Coast Groundwater Coalition. CCGC is in its fourth year of member-based organization that has, since your board approved our plan in April, receiving renewals. Renewalship is, if anything, more vigorous than it has been in the past. We're quite optimistic that our acreage and numbers will be maintained, if not expand in the coming year. I also want to acknowledge and thank staff for working quickly to review and approve our plan for the 3.0 in March. We're getting together and notifying our members of all the domestic and irrigation sampling, even though we have a wider berth of sampling requirements. We're encouraging our members to do as much sampling as possible this year. Just human nature, it's best to get it over with and put it off. We will be doing all the follow-up for any drinking water wells that come in over standard. And then throughout this year, we have plans to do workshops about postings, about notifications, about just kind of refresher courses that the CCGC has done throughout our existence. This year, we also will be assisting growers with the TNDL, 10A reporting, because nitrogen reporting is going to expand so exponentially this next year with the new 3.0 order. We feel it's a benefit to our membership to at least kind of keep them between the guardrails. A lot of them haven't done it before. So we're sure there's going to be a lot of questions. And again, through our public meetings or through our group meetings, trying to eliminate what, you know, we're all concerned about, that 2 weeks before all the reporting is due, everybody's going to come in with a whole pile of paperwork and ask, how do I make this work? And then in closing, I just want to, you know, let staff know and let the board know that we will be, you know, here and working for 4.0 and continue to work with staff, which we feel as a coalition has been very productive for Region 3 and the groundwater study. So any questions, I'd be happy to ask.
Thank you, Randy.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. So before we ask Chris to come to the podium to answer Mayor Delgado's question pertaining to nitrogen applied, do we have any more question, comment specific to the groundwater monitoring program? I look at my left, I look at my right.
I have just one brief question. I am curious, Randy kind of piqued my interest, and I had heard rumblings of this in the past from John Robertson. I am just curious to kind of what it looks like with the groundwater monitoring coalition assisting their members on the nitrogen applied reporting. Kind of what's the scope of that? I think it's a good thing. I'm just curious. I don't need to hear chapter and verse.
So that's a place we explored, and when I say we, I think collectively staff and the Central Coast Groundwater Coalition going to as part of the work plan under 3.0. Acknowledging that we're on a pretty tight timeline to get groundwater monitoring started, we came to this realization, I think collectively, that something that complex, in addition to the menu of services that complex, demanded more time than we had available to get to the groundwater monitoring component. We essentially had to stop the moving parts in the work plan and get to work plan assessment and approval.
So we're not putting it in the work plan, but they're doing it so that they can kind of dry run it, see how it works, sounds like.
That's my understanding, yeah.
Awesome, that's great.
So now, Chris, if you could come to the podium and answer Bruce's question.
And just to be clear, I guess the question is relevant to the MRP because it's part of the MRP, but it's not relevant to the chart that we see up here. Is that, I want to stay clear in my own mind, is that correct? Okay.
Yes, so this is Christopher Earls. I'm the Irrigated Lands Regulatory Program Manager here at the Central Coast Water Board. And I believe your question was for the people who are, or the growers who are new to the total nitrogen applied reporting this time around for Ag Order 3.0, the fact that we are requiring that they begin their tracking of nitrogen applied from January 2017 onward. And the Ag Order was approved on March 9th, 2017. Are we allowing some leeway if they weren't tracking that nitrogen for that two months and 9 days? And the answer is yes, as we discussed during Ag Order 3.0. We have two workshops, or actually four workshops currently scheduled. Two on March 23rd in Salinas and two on May 26th in Santa Maria. And then another one on May 24th, I believe, in San Luis Obispo here. I suspect that this question is going to come up during those workshops, and we will answer similarly that, yes, of course, there will be some leeway.
So is it required with leeway, or is it not required?
I'm sorry?
Is it a requirement with leeway, or is it not required?
I don't understand your distinction.
Is it required with some discretion, or is it required without discretion?
With some discretion. So, for example, if you've had an operation that have, for the past 3 years, been reporting total nitrogen applied running for the past 3 years, and they would like some leeway, I think that we would look a little bit differently on that for, with somebody compared to somebody else who has never had to report total nitrogen applied and has sort of been out of the loop with respect to the AWARDA 3.0 and development of total nitrogen applied reporting requirement.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Chris, a couple, actually three questions, truth in advertising. Can you repeat those dates for the workshops?
Yes, I can. And I'll make sure about that here. So the first one is May 22nd in Salinas, beginning at 9 a.m. at the UCU Cooperative Extension Office on Abbott. It begins at 9 a.m., and that will be in English. And then we have an afternoon session at that same location beginning at 1 o'clock. That one will be in Spanish. That same week on May 26th at 10 a.m. in Santa Maria at the Shepherd Hall Library, the Shepherd Hall Conference Room at the library, beginning at 10 a.m., that one will be in English. And then the afternoon at 1:30 at that same location at the library, another one in Spanish. And then we were invited by a group, well, I think I can say it, the Farm Bureau, the San Luis Obispo County Farm Bureau, to come and give that presentation or that workshop at their San Luis Obispo location on the 24th at 1 p.m. That one will be in English only.
And, okay. You know,
I'm going to say question number two.
Well, it was
do you want to interject here? Go ahead.
Yeah, while we're on that point, is that, you know, we discussed it with our executive officers that in the future workshops needs to be notified also to the board members to give them the opportunity to attend those. We did this very successfully with 3.0, and we want to move in the right direction with 4.0, so we don't have to find out about it from a Farm Bureau newsletter.
Right. Okay, very good. And very good. Understood. So, posted on our website, and we should include the board with that. Yes.
So I'm going to ask. Second question was, when we public notice this, did we include the language that Jessica has pushed to us about the potential that board members may attend? This does not indicate that they are going to have a meeting or discussion. They're attending for the purposes of monitoring.
No, we didn't.
Okay.
We didn't. We've learned that when we send these mass emails, so to speak, to keep it really simple, and we sent the flyer as well as just a summary of the flyer, which with the dates and a very brief explanation about the requirement and who should attend.
Okay.
And we were really trying to target the people who are new to total nitrogen applied reporting.
Okay. Last thing is, will you send those appointments to me too, and
yes,
then I can disseminate to the board members so
we'll
that,
do.
That they have an opportunity to witness and participate?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
And we had discussed a couple of years back, in order to effectuate board members being able to attend the kind of the wide variety of public outreach workshops that we do, that without having to do complex scheduling and making sure we don't have a quorum of board members there, that, maybe we put it in 9-point type on the bottom, but that there is a notification that board members may attend. There may be a quorum, but there will be no business discussed or transacted, just so we comply with Bagley-Keene, but as a board, we have an interest where possible in being out there and, you know, both hearing, get it for ourselves, what's going on, and also it sends a message to stakeholders that, that we actually are paying attention.
Sure, we'll do. We have it posted on our website in the announcement section of the ILRP. That would be a good place to put that.
Yeah. Yeah, just with all the different announcements.
Of sure.
Workshops as a matter of course.
You bet.
All right, thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
And
any
lasting comment, Angela or John? Okay, so this then concludes item 16, and this also concludes our Friday, May 12, 2017 Regional Water Quality Control Board meeting. It is 10 to 2 in the afternoon. Thank you very much, and have a great weekend.